All right. I am standing between you and a break, so I will make this short and sweet. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about discerning increased disease reports from increased screening practices and how we can use EHR data to kind of complement data that's already out there. So I'm going to jump right into it. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment noticed an increasing gonorrhea rate from 2011 to 2015, and they noticed this in 2016. So I want to take a look at this graph with a what is the current situation. So during this five-year stretch, the rate increased 59%. And most notably what they were seeing is that it increased at a pretty high rate between 2014 and 2015 of 38%. So this is what the current situation was. And so they reached out to us at Denver Public Health to kind of confirm or refute if screening practices had anything to do with this. At the state, they only get positive results. They only get the confirmed cases of gonorrhea. So they don't have any insight into how many tests are actually being performed if they have a negative outcome to it. And so they wanted to see if we could give them some insight from our EHR data to kind of complement this picture and to get a better understanding of it. Also playing a little bit of factor into this is Denver, Colorado itself. So between 2010 and 2015, our population grew at roughly 13%, which is a lot, to really put it simply. And so another thing that we have to keep in the back of our mind is this giant population growth also having to do with these increased cases just because there are so many other people there? I think it probably touches many areas, parking being one of them, or traffic accidents, or just being in a very close vicinity with more people now. So a lot of things are kind of starting to impact this that we need to keep this in the back of our mind. And so really what the ultimate question boiled down to is, how can EHR data assess if increased disease rates reflect increased disease screening rates? And so what we did is we looked from 2011 to 2015, and we only looked at Denver County residents. I'll speak to kind of the uniqueness about Denver Public Health here in a slide or two, but since they did contact the local public health jurisdiction, that's why we only focused on one county. And so we kind of have two buckets of data that we needed to take a look at. First, we need to look at our case rate data, and that comes from two separate reporting systems. Our PRISM system is where we would get our gonorrhea and STD information from. And then we have our CDERS data, which is where we would get our influenza-associated hospitalizations from. And I'll kind of touch into how influenza fits into all this, because that might be a natural question mark of how gonorrhea and influenza fit here together. And then for our screening data is where we got our electronic health records from Denver Health. And that's where we got our gonorrhea and our influenza screening tests. And so how does influenza fit into this whole picture? Because they are very, very different from it's very different from gonorrhea. And so with this whole project, when the state reached out to us, we wanted to pilot test a method to use that screening data to look at increased disease rates. And so we chose a second condition, and that's how we ended up on influenza. There was a method to the madness here. I just didn't throw a dart and say, hey, let's do influenza as well. So this is what I want to talk to about our unique study setting. So at Denver Health, it's the primary safety net institution providing care to roughly a quarter of Denver's residents. And so it's this integrated delivery system. And what I want to point out here is that the public health department sits under the Denver Health Enterprise. So that puts us in a unique position to have access to the entire enterprise's electronic health records. Many local public health agencies across the country might not have this unique ability here to look at this. And so that's something that we wanted to leverage, and that's one of the prime reasons why the CDPHE reached out to us. So how do we define these things? So for our reportable conditions, they are set by Colorado statute based on CDC recommendations, probably not unlike many other states across the country. And so when we looked at screening, we used our CPT codes within the electronic health record data. This was to identify the disease-specific tests that we're doing. Most of the time, these are for medical professionals or for insurance companies for reimbursement or just for other procedural things. So for gonorrhea, we chose one CPT code, and for influenza, we had chosen a few. And within that influenza screening, those also included respiratory or viral panel screening tests as well. And so getting back to CDPHE's original question of them only getting positive tests, we included all tests regardless of laboratory outcome. We wanted to get a sense of exactly how many tests was the hospital and all the clinics conducting. And how do we analyze this? Pretty basic. We calculated crude prevalence rates for both disease states, and we calculated the percent change of cases and rates over this five-year period. And for screening, we assembled the annual counts of our screening tests, and then we broke that up by unique patients screened during that period. And then we, again, calculated percent change in screening tests and unique patients over time. And so what did we see? So I want to take a look at this graph again that I showed on the first slide of this presentation. And now we're looking at in the context of why is this 59% increase happening? What is leading to this? Is it the population? Is it the screening test? Is it something else that we haven't even really thought of yet? So that's kind of how we look at this. So to assess that why, this is where we get to our screening data from Denver Health. And so I realize that there are a lot of numbers on here, and this is a chart, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not expecting you to look at this. But what I kind of want to point out here is that during this five-year stretch, Denver Health had a roughly 4.3 million visits. And within those 4.3, roughly 3% had an encounter with gonorrhea screening. And during any one of these projects, I think we can all kind of agree that there's always one little thing in there that you're like, oh, I really didn't expect that to happen. And that kind of came with the range of how many tests a unique patient had. It was from 1 during a five-year stretch to 36. And that was kind of, oh, so that happened during that five-year stretch for somebody. It was a good 5 years or it was a bad 5 years for that person. You just don't know. And so it's just kind of one of those things you're like, oh, so that was happening. So the average screen per patient was just a little over 1, but that range just, you know, really jumped out at me. And so when we look at the gonorrhea screening stress over time and the unique patients screened, for just the screening test, we saw a 12% increase in gonorrhea screening tests. And for unique patients, we saw a 10% increase. So looking at these trends, they follow a pretty similar path. So what does this mean in context with the Y slide that I showed earlier? And so when we put this all together, we kind of see this trend for both the cases or the case rate and then the screening test and unique patients screened. And so generally, from 2011 to 2014, they followed that similarly increasing trend. But right here in 2014 to 2015, where we saw the largest jump in rate at that first slide that I had showed you, this is where it makes that jump, where the rates of screening stayed relatively stable. I'm not saying that they stayed at nothing, but they stayed in comparison, they were relatively stable. So what does this tell us, really, from this? Screening might have impacted the rate increase there, but unlikely that it was the sole cause of this. So jumping over to the influenza side of things, again, we look at this, and we want to take a look at, you know, this overall increase of 64%. But when we took a look at it a little bit closer, what we really wanted to understand was from 2011 to 2014, why did we see this 231% increase in influenza screening tests? But then from 2014 to 2015, you know, we saw that decrease 49%. So as a wonderful animation shows, what was that cause in 2014 to 2015 that we saw that rapid decrease? So again, I'll pull out this fancy chart. And so the encounters for influenza screening among Denver Health was much less than gonorrhea at less than 1%, 0.1%. And the average screen per patient still was roughly around that 1, and the range is much smaller for flu, 1 to 11. So then we look at this over time, we see a gigantic jump. So for just for influenza screening tests, those increased 169% over that five-year period. And as you can see from the graph, unique patients screened also followed a very similar large increase of 161%. So again, these are starting to ask these questions. Okay, now why are we starting to see more influenza screenings with this gigantic jump? And so when we graph that along with our case rate data, we see that again, from 2011 to 2014, they follow a very, very similar trend. But again, magically in 2014 to 2015, we see this divergence from the screening test saying relatively stable, but this time the case rate, instead of increasing like it did with gonorrhea, it's sharply decreased. And so then we started to ask, you know, what was the cause of this decrease here? And so we reached back out to our partners at the state to try to understand a little bit about this. And the way that we had formatted our data was by year and not by flu season. And so in Colorado, the 2014 to 2015 flu season was much more severe on the front end, which is why there were so many cases in 2014. But for 2015, that was the 2015 to 2016 season. Most of those cases came in 2016, and the data for that is not reflected in here. So while we still had a mild season in 2015, the severity couldn't be measured because we didn't look at 2016 data. And that's something we're just going to remember, you know, moving down the line. So what do I want to talk about with our limitations? Because with any project that we do, we always know that there are limitations. So one of the big ones is that we only included one provider that of many in Denver County that tests for gonorrhea. Even within our own system, the Denver Public Health STD Screening Clinic maintained their data in a completely separate EHR. So it wasn't until we did our large Epic integration in April of 2016 that we were using one platform. So we know that even within our public health department, we're missing a lot of people that were getting screened here. And noticing the difference between how many CPT codes we use for gonorrhea and how many we use for influenza, we found it challenging to identify and capture what that optimal combination of to capture all of gonorrhea screening without any sort of duplication. Many tests can cover different conditions in one test. So when we jump over to the influenza side, we look at influenza-associated hospitalizations, which is the reportable disease state in Colorado, doesn't represent all of influenza cases. It really only represents the most severe of them. So anyone who might just have a cough and a cold but influenza positive most likely aren't going to be hospitalized and most likely aren't going to be captured in this project. And what I had just touched on here, we reported influenza-associated hospitalizations by year and not by flu season. So that could impact how we see those graphs play out. Influenza screening guidelines vary year by year. Sometimes you want to test a certain group of individuals, focus a little bit more on them, and other 2 years that you don't. Also during this 2011 to 2015 period, Zika and Ebola happened. So the increase in screening tests also might have a little bit of explanation because of those extra conditions that we were looking out for. Again, similar to gonorrhea, we only included one provider among many who test in Denver County. And similar with the CPT codes, even though we had more, there's still that challenge to identify the right combination of what we actually want to do. So what did we really conclude from all of this using our electronic health record? It was helpful to the state because it provided that complementary information for their picture. You know, they were only receiving the confirmed cases. Now we're giving them insight into all of the screening tests that happened in Denver County or at Denver Health. And again, as I alluded to, increased screenings might explain a slight increase in case reporting, but it's unlikely alone to have driven those increased rates. EHR data is a robust information source to complement these epidemiologic investigations. We know that the comparisons aren't perfect, but it helps us give us a little bit of a frame of reference and more understanding to complete that picture. And it shows that state and local public health agency partnerships can improve access to these emerging information sources. This was a great exercise for us to get this down when CDPHE contacted us. And not that we want to see the gonorrhea rates going up to trigger this. It's those kind of things that give us insight into how we can use this data in a different way other than just a hospital using it from a clinical standpoint. I'd like to thank Art Davidson, who's here in the back of the room, Emily McCormick from Denver Public Health, and then Dan Shadell from the State Department of Health. And I will take any questions. Right. Right. So as far as the guidelines for 30, 90, and 120 days, I believe you said, we didn't deduplicate along those standards. The rates and the case counts came directly from the state. So any of the data analysis that they did, I can't speak to. It was in their report. So they might they could have taken those into account. As far as screening, we didn't look at that. We just wanted to see how many screening tests were included in that time stretch. Right, yeah, we didn't break it out by any sort of time frame. It was just by each year. And we've set ourselves up because we've pulled out those unique patients, so we might be able to do that, but for this specific project, we weren't looking at that. What it boiled down to is they just wanted a simple understanding of our screening rates, why we're seeing more things. It's kind of when you're looking at diabetes. You don't want to see the rate go up, but you want people to be getting those A1C tests, so an increased rate isn't necessarily all bad because people are now becoming diagnosed.
I'm going to call a halt because it is 3:30. 30, and I will, like,